Last week, Misty and I and family got to go up to Dickey Lake Bible Camp. It's one of our Alliance camps up by Whitefish, north of Whitefish, and more north all the way, I mean, right up by Eureka, I don't know, 30 minutes from the Canadian border. So Emily, is that where you went to camp? Yeah, growing up. So she knows about this crystal clear glacier lake that is freezing cold. But it was great to be there. So I got to preach on Friday night, Saturday morning, Saturday night, and Sunday morning. So I got four sermons combined today. So you guys can sit back for about 2 hours. And it was great. Their theme was out of Ephesians 4, where it says, live a life worthy of the calling you've been given. And calling, really, in that sense, was about vocation, the vocation you've been given. And back then, vocation was an all-encompassing thing. If you were a fisherman, everybody knew you as a fisherman. And from sun up to sundown, you worked as a fisherman. Your parents were probably in the fishing business. And if you had a son, you were probably training him up in the fishing business. And so that word calling is really about an all-encompassing thing. So I want to start in Ephesians 1, this letter from Paul. And it says, this letter is from Paul, chosen by the will of God to be an apostle of Christ Jesus. I am writing to God's holy people who are faithful followers of Christ Jesus. May God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ give you grace and peace. This is definitely a letter to the followers of Christ. There's going to be a theme throughout the whole book of Ephesians. We won't cover the whole book. But of this idea of being in Christ, united with Christ, and he will say it over and over again, united with Christ or in Christ. And the idea of being outside of Christ is a much different place to be. So if you are, I don't want to assume everyone in this room is a follower of Jesus Christ. I think most people are. But if you are not, then listen to that difference between all of those things that we receive in Christ and those outside of that. If you have a bulletin, you can, on the back page, draw a line right down the middle and put in Christ and outside of Christ and list all of these things that Paul talks about. Verse 3 says, all praise to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms because we are united with Christ. There we go. He starts off, we are united with Christ, and because of that, we have every spiritual blessing. Those blessings of grace and forgiveness and reconciliation, of justification. All of those things, the spiritual blessings that are not kind of earthly or temporary. Here on earth, we may have the blessings of good health, and that may come and go. We may have disease and get healed. Well, those are kind of temporal blessings here on earth. But those spiritual blessings are for all eternity of grace and faith and hope. All praise to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms. Verse 4 has become one of my, I just have fallen in love with it. Even before he made the world, God loved us. Let that sink in. Even before that glacier lake that I swam in, and the mountains, and the beautiful trees, and the Grand Canyon, and the plains of Africa, and the oceans, even before all of that was created, God loved us. God's got a plan. From the very beginning, even before the creation of the world, God has a plan. And we can trust that he has a plan and he will carry it out. Even before he made the world, God loved us. And he chose us in Christ to be holy. Holy is his separated or set apart or different than the world. He had a plan for his people to be different than the world. And it's not really, okay, here, I got a plan, and you're going to do this and don't do this, and this do and that don't. He gives another explanation of this in chapter 4. When he said, lead a life worthy of your calling. Verse 2 says, always be humble. This is about attitude and actions, not really the do's and the don'ts. It is about what he wants his holy people, his set apart, different people to look like, to be like that vocation. This is who you are in Christ. We are humble. That's the first one. Live a life of humbleness. Right there is a whole lifelong challenge. I don't get to watch NBA, not because I don't like it anymore, just time. I don't have time to sit down and watch. And NBA, they have 100 or so games if you follow a team. There are some NBA, I'm not knocking you guys. I did get to catch one game this year. It was in the finals, and it is the game that Stephen Curry set the NBA finals for three-pointers. That's a pretty big monumental thing, thinking about all the NBA players, and he sets a record for the NBA. And you would have not known the difference between his first shot and his last shot. The guy never reacted much to making these, even when his teammates were jumping around. I watched him, and he was just like, ho-hum. Well, Stephen Curry is a born-again Christian who is very vocal about his faith. On the other side of the other team they were playing was this guy named LeBron James, who has the nickname The King. Now, if that's not the opposite of humble, I don't know if he gave himself the nickname The King or someone else did, but if you walk around with the mantle of The King, you're probably not the most humble. But if you watch some other NBA guys, they make a shot, and they're just, come on, crowd, give me the praise. And I just found that example of a Christian guy living out his faith of being humble on the worldwide stage where he sets maybe an all-time record was just, for me, a great example of humbleness. Goes on to say, we are to be humble and gentle. We're to be patient with each other, making allowance for each other's faults because of your love. Making allowance for each other's faults because of your love. If there is one thing that should define us as in Christ, it should be our love. And it should be looking over people's faults, because I know I have a lot of them, and being a parent and a husband, those are pretty noticeable sometimes. And some of my kids actually tell me about them. And I'm like, oh. But Christ is saying, because of our love, we should look over the faults of one another. Humbleness, gentleness, patience, looking over the faults. This is who we are to be. Not really do's and don'ts, but who we are and how we should live. We're to be united in the Spirit, binding yourselves together with peace. Unity and peace. And boy, if I look at our country today, unity and peace is not one of the words I would use to describe it. Even amongst our fellow believers, unity and peace, looking over the faults of one another. And so isn't that the challenge that Paul already, way back then, challenged us with, and today, same challenge. Says, for there is one body and one Spirit, just as you've been called to one glorious hope. We have a glorious hope in Christ, a glorious hope for the future. There is one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God, and Father of all, who is over all, in all, and living through all. I like that he just says God is living in us. He is living through us. And if we are in Christ, we have all of these blessings, spiritual blessings. We have a glorious hope. We have an inheritance. Let's pick us back up there. Verse 4 again. Before He made the world, God loved us, chose us in Christ to be holy and without fault in His eyes. Let that sink in. That in Christ, I am without fault in His eyes. All of my faults, all of my failures, through Christ, in Christ, God sees me as without fault. Wow. Because I know how I act throughout a day or a week or a month. And He sees me through the lens of Jesus Christ, and He looks and says, I see you. You're perfect. You're without fault in my eyes. In chapter 2, he talks about, we're talking about in Christ, He sees me without fault. Outside of Christ, it's a different story. Chapter 2 says, once you were dead because of your disobedience and your many sins. You used to live in sin just like the rest of the world, obeying the devil, the commander of the powers in the unseen world. He is the spirit at work in the hearts of those who refuse to obey God. All of us used to live that way, following the passionate desires and inclinations of our sinful nature. By our very nature, we were subject to God's anger or wrath, just like everyone else. Outside of Christ is a whole different place. He still sees us with those faults because we are not in Christ. We're not united with Christ. It's not because of me or how good I can do or what rules I can follow. It is, am I in Christ or not? How does God see me and who am I? And He says, if you are in Christ, you are without fault in my eyes. Being at a place where I am viewed as under the wrath of God is not a place I want to be. I've shared the example before about I was in a Walmart parking lot, which is kind of a dangerous place to be, and my little child was holding onto my hand, and they were tugging to get away. I don't know what was going on in Walmart that was so important, but they were tugging, and the more they tugged, the more I squeezed. And the harder they tugged, the more I squeezed, because I knew how dangerous a place. Imagine if they were outside of my grasp and all the cars and trucks and buses, that it's a dangerous place outside of the grasp of God. Verse 5 is great too. God decided in advance to adopt us into His own family by bringing us to Himself through Jesus Christ. I love adoption. Misty and I have 8 naturally born children. We looked into adoption and they said, oh, you got too much money. Too many kids, not enough money. Yeah, that was it. When you work as a pastor in group homes, that one. Anyways, we had a few kids at the time, and we looked in, and they said, no, you don't make enough money, and then we got pregnant right after that. So apparently God had a different standard than what the adoption agency did. So, but my family, because of adoption, is vastly different. My extended family, we have kids from Haiti, and from Romania, Ukraine, different skin colors, different cultures. It is awesome to see that. And so I just praise you if you have adopted or are going through adoption. It's a wonderful thing. And it says, God decided in advance to adopt us through Jesus Christ. Listen to this. This is what He wanted to do, and it gave Him great pleasure. Whew. Let that one sink in. That God took great pleasure in adopting you into His family. through Jesus Christ, that He gave His own Son to pay the penalty for our sins, and it was His good pleasure to adopt you. Wow. Again, I don't know of any adoptive parents who did not take great pleasure. They walked in and said, well, I know there's a lot of kids in the world, and I guess we ought to adopt one. How about that one? You know, and yep, they're yours. Okay. No, they took great and went to great lengths. I know my cousins have went overseas, and they had to spend, I don't know, a month over there before they could actually adopt a child, and there's great expense. It's a big deal to adopt, and God says, I adopted you into my family, and it was my good pleasure. Whew. So we praise God for this glorious grace He's poured out on us. To those who belong to His dear Son, we have grace poured out on us in Christ. He is so rich in kindness and grace that He purchased our freedom with the blood of His Son and forgave our sins. He has showered us with kindness, along with all wisdom and understanding. Is your list getting full over there of in Christ? How many blessings and benefits there are in Christ versus outside of Christ. And it's interesting that Paul says he's purchased our freedom, because Paul's sitting in jail at this point. He's in Rome writing this letter to churches he has visited, and I'm not sure he knows if he's getting out of there or not, but he is saying Christ has purchased your freedom, freedom over sin, freedom over death, that we have the freedom to live our life worthy of the calling. God has now revealed to us this His mysterious will regarding Christ, which is to fulfill His own good plan. Remember that plan from the very beginning, before the creation of the world. And this is the plan. I love how Paul, for a guy like me, says, hey, God's got a plan. Listen, here it is. There's no, you know, mystery behind it. He reveals it to us. This is a plan at the right time. Not my time, not your time, but at the right time, He will bring everything together under the authority of Christ. Everything in heaven and on earth. Furthermore, because we are united with Christ, we have received an inheritance from God. For He chose us in advance, and He makes everything work out according to His plan. God has a plan. He's always had a plan. And He is working things out according to His plan. He is bringing people in. He's adopting them in through His Son, Jesus Christ. And one day, everything in heaven and on earth will be under the authority of Jesus Christ. God in all, living through all, filling all. Paul says God's purpose was that the Jews were to be the first to trust in Christ, would bring praise and glory to God. And now you Gentiles have also heard the truth, the good news that God saves you. And when you believed in Christ, He identified you as His own by giving you the Holy Spirit whom He promised long ago. Again, in Christ, we have the promised Holy Spirit, and now we are identified as a follower of Jesus Christ because of that Holy Spirit living in us. The Holy Spirit is God's guarantee that He will give us an inheritance He promised, and that He purchased us to be His own people. He did this so we would praise and glorify God. We have a purpose in life. God has a plan, we have a purpose, and it is to praise and glorify Him. Colossians, Paul writes the same thing. Whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. Our purpose in life is to bring glory to God by being humble and gentle and overlooking other people's faults, by being united with one another, and to help bring everything under the authority of Jesus Christ. This last section, ever since I first heard of your strong faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for God's people everywhere, I've not stopped thanking God for you. I pray for you constantly, asking God, the glorious Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, to give you spiritual wisdom and insight so that you might grow in the knowledge of God. I pray that your hearts will be flooded with light so that you can understand the confident hope he has given to those he has called. We not only have a hope, we have a confident hope. That we can trust in this God who has a plan, is carrying it out, and says one day in Christ you will receive a glorious inheritance. And we can be confident of that hope. He has given to those he called, his holy people, who are his rich and glorious inheritance. I find it interesting that the New Living Translation translated his inheritance. That God looks at us. Before the creation of the world, he loved us. He adopted us into his family, and it was his pleasure, and now he calls us his inheritance. How valuable are you to this Creator God? How much does he love us? I also pray that you will understand the incredible greatness of God's power for us who believe him. That list is getting longer and longer. Now we have this power, the same mighty power that raised Christ from the dead, seated him in the place of honor at God's right hand. Now he is far above any ruler or authority or power or leader or president or king or governor or senator or, even sheriff. He is far above any ruler or authority. I think Jim has been talking about this the past few weeks. Christ is above every authority on earth. And we are in Christ. And he wants us to live a certain way. God has put all things under the authority of Christ and made him head over all things for the benefit of the church. The church is his body and is made full and complete by Christ, who fills all things everywhere with himself. Christ fills all things everywhere with himself. Bring everything under the authority of God, under the authority of Christ, and Christ will fill everything. So what I want to say is bring your marriage under the authority of Christ, and Christ will fill your marriage. Bring your finances under the authority of Christ, and Christ will fill your finances. Maybe not in the way you think, but the way Christ wants. Bring your parenting under the authority of Christ, and Christ will fill your parenting. Bring your relationships with others. Bring whatever it is, all things under the authority of Christ, and Christ will fill all things. In church, bring the church under the authority of Christ, and Christ will fill the church. Outside of Christ, we cannot expect these things. And so if we are trying to do any of them on our own without the authority of Christ, we cannot expect Christ's blessings and honor in those things. This has been a challenge for me as I, talked about this a little at Dickey Lake, and I'm thinking, okay, bring that under the authority of Christ. Well, how do I do that? Other than, okay, it's yours, but, and Christ will fill all things. And so Paul talks about it. Let's see, in chapter 3. How do I bring everything under the authority of Christ? And he says, verse 3:16. When I think of all this, I fall to my knees and pray to the Father. There's our first step. In my parenting, in my marriage, in my relationships, in our church, fall to our knees and bring it to the Father. I want to bring this under the authority of Christ because I want Christ to fill it. Fall to our knees and pray to the Father, the Creator of everything in heaven and earth. I pray from His glorious, unlimited resources. Glorious, unlimited resources of God for those who are in Christ. He will empower you with inner strength through His Spirit. Inner strength is what we all need. I need. And whether it is I'm trying not to eat sugar, I need inner strength. Whether it's I'm trying to get rid of something in my life, I need inner strength. And God promises through His unlimited resources to give us inner strength. Then Christ will make His home in your hearts as you trust Him. Isn't that what we want? Christ to be in our hearts? And it says, as you trust Him. I believe it's in Mark, I can't remember, maybe Eric is better at that, knowing the exact story. Mark talks about if even you give a cup of cold water to one of these, you will have a reward. How hard is a cup of cold water? That's pretty easy. Christ is saying, bring everything under my authority and I will fill it up. Trust me. So try it. Try it with the smallest thing this week of saying, okay, Christ, I want this under your authority. Ask the Father to give you inner strength to do it. As you do this, your roots will grow down into God's love and keep you strong. May you have the power to understand, as all God's people should, how wide, how long, how high, how deep His love is. And may you experience the love of Christ, though it is too great to fully understand. Then you will be made complete with all the fullness of life and power that comes from God. I want a full life. I want that fullness of life. And Paul, through his letter, is saying, bring everything under the authority of Christ, and Christ will fill everything. And so the challenge is, okay, if I want that full life, how do I submit that to that? Hebrews 12 gives an example. It says, we have a great cloud of witnesses. We have a lot of examples in the Bible, but we have examples in our life. Maybe it's grandparents. Maybe it's someone we respect who they are doing this. They bring everything under the authority of Christ. But definitely in Scripture, we have those examples. And it says, let us strip off every weight that slows us down. He's not talking yet about sin. He's talking about every weight that slows you down. As you know, I do some weight lifting or crossfitting, and some other guys do too. Can I do a plug here? This, Joby and I were on team competition 2 weeks ago. We took, 8th out of 11th on a team. So, yeah, we were pretty happy about it. So, anyways, good job, Joby. He kind of carried the team. You know, when it says throw off the weight that slows you down, that might have been me. So, but I'll tell you, pull-ups are a lot easier to do without a 40-pound weight vest on. You throw off that weight vest, and boy, they sure seem lighter and easier. Says, throw off the weight that slows you down. And is that a relationship that may be slowing you down? Is that some thinking you may have that is slowing you down? And it says, throw especially the sin that so easily trips us up. Not only does it slow us down, it actually makes us fall and trip up. And he says, throw off that sin. How? Fall on our knees to the Father and say, I want to bring this under the authority of Christ, so Christ will fill it up. Let us run the race with endurance, or run with endurance, the race God has set before us. Endurance racing is a whole lot different than what I even want to do. Endurance racing is a long, thought out, slow, methodical, step-by-step race. It is step by step at the same pace and is not fast and slow. So he says, the race set out before this. We do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus, the champion. I love that. The champion who initiates and perfects our faith. Let everything fall under the authority of Christ, and Christ will fill everything, including your faith, your sin, the weight that slows you down. Give it to Christ. Because in Christ, united with Christ, are all these benefits, all these blessings, all of this grace and hope and inheritance that can be found. Going back to chapter 3, you will be made complete with all the fullness of life and power that comes from God. That is what I want for my life. I hope you want that from your life. If you have a challenge in your life, then I encourage you to fall on your knees before the Father and ask Him to bring it under the authority of Christ. Let's pray. Father, thank you. Your love before the creation of the world, your adoption, your pleasure in us is too much to explain, too much to even fathom sometimes, that you look at us without fault in your eyes because of Jesus. So thank you for Him. Thank you for His life, His suffering, His death, and His resurrection, that we are now reconciled together. Things have been paid for. We can live a life of love because of Jesus, and help us do that. It's in your Son's name we pray.